going on, guys? Welcome to episode 3.1 of Under the Circle, because last week our equipment kind of malfunctioned and we didn't pick up our guest that well. But yeah, we're back again. We apologize for that. And oh, by the way, I'm Joe Harris.
Justin Staler.
Jesse Goforth.
So yeah,
today we got Tony, the guitar player of De La Moore from Vincennes. Yeah, they're from Vincennes, the Dirty V.
The Dirty V.
And it is dirty.
I said both of you should know firsthand.
It's the Gooch of Indiana.
That's a compliment, by the way.
That's giving it way too much credit.
There's a kid that I was at a party with, like, God, it was probably about 4 years ago. He had just graduated from Vincennes, and he's just like, you want to know what the only two things to do in Vincennes are? And I was like, what's that? He's like, you go to the North Mall and the South Mall. I was
Kmart and Walmart?
Yeah.
He's just like, yep, you either go to Kmart or Walmart.
Yeah, or you can get a Blue Dew from Zip and Zip.
That is good.
That is the shit.
And that Kmart did really close.
Yeah, and that Kmart's closed now. Yeah.
Oh, so now you only have the Walmart.
Yes. Yeah, that Kmart isn't even an Avenue Broadband anymore. It's nothing.
Basically, if it wasn't for Vincennes University, that town would pretty much be like...
And it's already riddled with meth just everywhere you go.
Oh, dude, it was like, bad. It was bad when that dude was talking about it. He said, I had to get the fuck out of there because meth heads were everywhere.
Vincennes University. Enjoy your dead-end job there.
Enjoy your dead-end job.
All there is just a bunch of aspiring rappers trying to get free demos, or just complete, like, douchebags who just go to the gym and work out in their pajama pants. That's all of that.
I'm sure it's sweet, bro.
Yeah.
I gotta do my hair to go to the gym, bro.
Yeah, exactly. Wow. And they don't really work out. They just, like, curl for a little while and look at themselves.
They go eat more shitty cheeseburgers in the cafeteria.
Yeah, and then you can go to the cafeteria and get some, like, rat food and stuff.
I don't think that we're giving these guys the proper idea on what our band is about, because I think that these guys are total hill jacks.
These are one of six actual people who are addicted to meth.
I have a Pez problem, but I'm trying to get that under control.
Oh, dude, trust me. I'm 5 years Pez free, man. I understand.
Pez is rough.
It's like having a monkey stuck to your back, man.
These dudes are not addicted to meth. They aren't.
Luckily, they are.
They've probably been close because that town sucks enough to drive you to it. But these are good dudes. We went to school. Me and Jesse went to school with them and stuff. And I mean, they were the least douchey.
We're the redeeming quality. We have our own billboard.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, but he said the band De La Moore, and he'll be talking to us about the Southern Indiana scene. You know, because you know, being here in Central Indiana, you know, we don't get too much Southern Indiana stuff around here. I mean,
yeah, we got the vocals from Venables from Madison, Danny, and I know, like, the dudes in All Became New, they're from
Greg
for a while. He's awesome dude.
Yeah, he's a really good guitar player too. Right.
And
phenomenal guitar player.
We played a show with All Became New I think it was about a month ago. It was the last Tibbs House show. It was like All Became New, Venable, Us, Red Morning Voyage, Cadences, and I forget who else. That was an awesome show. Like, those dudes threw it down.
Oh, yeah.
And for those of you who don't know, Joe Harris is in Rumor Has It.
You just have to plug me, like, in the weirdest ways possible.
Yeah.
Hey, Joe, what are you drinking?
I am drinking an Arizona RX Energy.
I know, we're about to have Tony's girlfriend leave the podcast and go get us some fucking Arizona teas.
Do us a favor and run down to the PG.
I'm drinking a man's drink. I'll have a Red Bull, thank you.
Ooh. Red Bull's fine.
Without a doubt, just called me a bitch for drinking Arizona.
Panel of judges, accept it.
Panel of judges?
Take that, Chuck Norris.
Yeah.
Sir, says, we're gonna go with it.
You're good. Show 38 people seven. Said yes. That's fine. No, but yeah, we don't get, a lot of it is, like, Southern Indiana is, like, not only riddled with meth, but riddled with metalcore bands.
It really
just
is. I'm afraid to admit it.
Swamped.
I'm in a metalcore band that is trying really hard to be a melodic hardcore band. I'm a metalcore guitar player who's trying to do just that. And I mean, literally, you spit and you're going to hit 13 kids that are in,
metalcore bands. Yeah.
Who's your favorite band? Dilworth Product? Yep. Got
them. Yep, here they are. And here's a line of them all.
We got some redeeming qualities. You know, Ben Sins has got a couple of really good bands out there, you know, that we've seen that have passed through. Evansville's got a couple of solid acts. I mean, one band that I'd like to give a shout-out to, and the lady and I talk about these guys all the time, they're from Robinson, Illinois, which is about 45 minutes from us. They're a sideline. They're like a southern hardcore Every Time I Die.
Ooh,
phenomenal band.
Yeah.
Absolutely incredible. They're all nuts. They're jumping around all over the place. Last time I saw them, their guitar player took his Fender Telecaster off of his shoulder, put it on his arm, and spun it around. Threw it up and caught it. It was beautiful.
Oh, that's so
fun. It was
fun,
the most amazing thing.
Oh, that's awesome.
I told him after the show, I mean, I was actually judging a battle of the bands, and they lost by politics, of course. You know, God forbid a good band wins a battle of the bands anymore.
Yeah.
But, you know, I told him, I was like, I'm stealing that move from you. I'm going to work on that right bicep. I'm going to twirl that thing.
They give up masturbation for a few months and just going to be twirling guitars.
What are you talking about, dude? It'll increase muscle, do
you think? I don't know. I feel like it increases muscle in your forearm.
Yeah, but still, it'll keep you, like, get a good grip on that guitar strap while you're doing this number.
Yeah. Well, you got to get coordinated enough to catch it, too, though. You got to remember that.
That's true.
It's probably not all in the muscle. It's probably in the coordination to catch it.
I've got to have a beta period where I just go out in my backyard with my $150 Schecter 006.
You don't want to try that shit with Ellie right now.
Oh, absolutely not. I've already had one mishap with that thing, and it was a... if anybody's ever like wanting to buy a neck strap, don't buy an Oni neck strap because they're total crap. They rip on you and shatter a headstock. Friendly fire when you're having fun. Yeah, this is an amazing show. Oh my god, I'm crying.
Fuck my life. Oh,
Christ almighty.
I literally bawled like a baby.
Oh, that's okay. We've all been there. But last week we got to a question we've been meaning to cover for the last few weeks.
Yeah, we missed it on the second show, and the first time we recorded the third show, we actually got to the question, but
the show
as
got
you
ruined,
know,
yeah.
We all know what happened.
Yeah,
there.
The show got ruined by yours truly. So
yeah, it is.
you
sick son of a bitch,
bastard. and Max has already stabbed me in the thigh twice for it. So
sainted.
Yeah. So you know. That went down.
At least it didn't tear your jawbone off. That's all.
That's true. Yeah. Well, at first he punched me and he tried to get like his whole fist down my esophagus.
Oh, brutal!
But I have strong jawline. So,
man,
I forced him out. Yeah.
the question that we were gonna do, it was posed by my good buddy Yari Nation. What's worse, a song with extremely catchy music, but lyrically it's not so good, or the reverse. Really good lyrics on a song that you really just can't stand to listen to.
We'll go around the circle with this. We'll go under the circle with this.
Jesus, I feel like I'm on a shitty radio morning show.
Aren't we on The View right now?
Totally. We're going under the circle right now with this question. Yeah.
Casual jacket!
I would have worn my cardigan if I knew we were doing this.
So, we'll start with me and we'll go. Is this counterclockwise or clockwise?
That would be counter.
This is counterclockwise.
Well,
yes.
From our view, it's clockwise, but
for me, it's counterclockwise.
Oh, hey, okay. Tie in. Okay. We're sitting in a circle.
Oh,
we are
in a circle right now. Yeah. Oh, shit. All right. So we'll start with me, and then you guys can call me stupid, and then you give your own fucking deluded, dumb opinions.
Listen to your dumb shit.
Because everyone besides me is wrong.
I'm just going to take a nap while you fuckers talk.
Yeah, yeah. I prefer a song that is catchy musically rather than lyrically. I showed you guys that song by Lower Than Atlantis last week.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ!
That lyric is maybe one of the worst of all. In the pop punk.
Something great.
It's been great. You're everything on a plate.
Oh my God.
What are they, crossfade?
You know, like, and they didn't make
crossfade. Yes, dude, that was awesome.
I don't know, but I was a new metal kid for quite a while. I'm sorry, we've all been there. Yeah, stained. Woo. You know, but crossfade. I bought their album, and I want my $13 back. I want to go to their house one day, and I'm going to fight every single one of them.
And it kills me that. The drummer from Barrier Dead is their drummer now.
I hate to break it to you, dude. As much as I love Barrier Dead, as much as I think Cover Your Tracks is a great hardcore record, dude, from what I have heard of the new record, it sounds like Matt Brusso singing for Seven Dust, dude. That's all I'm saying.
I haven't listened to anything. Waiting until the album comes out. All of you, go fuck yourselves in the ass,
dude. It's new metal.
I'm hoping for redemption. So. You all can just suck my fucking bruised tit
This is the problem, though, with bands like that do that kind of thing. Like, Barrier Dead did it, and Killswitch Engage did it. They always have, like, that mediocre thing, but it starts out really, really amazing, and then just the rest of it is just, like, you know, the self-titled Killswitch CD. I don't know if you guys have listened to it.
The new one?
The newest
one. Oh, well, it's based.
It's been out for a while.
There's when I listened to it, I threw up.
Yeah.
So,
the first song started out great, like, the first 30 seconds, like, had this really cool, like, charging thing, and I was like, and as soon as I heard clean guitar, I was like, I'm done. I'm quitting.
There's one song on that record that I thought was awesome.
And Choose This Day!
That real epic sounding one. I was like, alright, this is cool. And then the rest of the record is shit.
Yeah, just fucking gut punches you with awful. Yeah.
I was like, I'm sorry, but I think As Daylight Dies was a great, great record.
I think As Daylight Dies was good, but I think,
End of Heartache was amazing. I think Alive or Just Breathing is one of the records.
One of the records that changed, you know, the metalcore genre.
Yeah, no, totally.
Into what it is.
Yeah, totally. I agree.
Yeah, and I think Jesse Leach is a phenomenal vocalist.
Yeah, when he's not in new metal bands.
Yeah.
Sure. Dude, I thought Seamless was awesome. It was Southern Stoner Blues jams, dude. That ruled so hard, dude. And I think Times of Grace is awesome. Dude, it reminds me of fucking first album, All That Remains, with Jesse Leach singing, dude. I think you're
deluded.
Whatever, dude. I'm going to go see them in Let Live in July. So
I love me some Let Live.
dude, Fake History rules so hard.
Oh, dude, I love Let Live. But anyways, yes. That Lower Than Atlantis lyric.
You're everything on a plate.
Yeah.
It's been great. Everything on a plate.
It's like a fucking cereal commercial.
Yeah,
it makes me think of the Wiggles.
Yeah,
I'm not even kidding. That is like a Sesame Street song for having a balanced breakfast for kids.
But
boom, right
but
there.
For that song, Pac-Man like, cereal. But like the verse, the bridge, and the chorus, like the musically is fucking so catchy. Like if you go listen to the song, it's called Beach Like the Tree. And the music is so super catchy, like, it makes you, like, just want to, like, dance in place, you know, like, get jiggy with it, you know, like, but, like, and the lyric almost does ruin the song, but if I had to choose, I would definitely choose the catchy lyrics, because it's something I can jam, because it's something I can jam to, and I can tune out the shitty lyrics sometimes, and just jam to the music alone.
Yeah.
So I would probably prefer catchy music over catchy lyrics.
That's true.
Yeah, I don't know how you guys feel. Around the circle. Under the circle.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, usually the first thing you hear is the music.
Yeah.
I mean, It can just stick. It'll stick to you, like if it's a catchy, which you know you like. Musically, I do enjoy the catchiness.
Yeah.
Like you get like certain riffs. It doesn't have to necessarily be like a riff. It could be like piano or whatever. You know. A certain
just
part
super
just
fucking,
if it
like,
sticks to your head, it can get you through a day.
Yeah, totally.
But at the same time, like all right, I like this band. I'd like to memorize their lyrics and go to a show or whatever.
Yeah,
and
fucking
sing
like
it back.
That, yeah.
But if you get a shitty lyric, you're at the show. You're like, what the fuck did I just sing?
Oh god, I just went down 3 cool points automatically.
Yeah. Oh.
You kind of like
sit,
you kind of sit in the back and kind of like hang your head a little bit, like gang vocaling to shitty lyrics is not
good.
So I know that's totally true. Yeah, like because like musically you can just get like really like lodged in your head and you'd be like, "Hey man, I wonder what he's saying now." And then you like really pay attention to lyrics and you're like, "Ooh. What does that even
dumb.
Mean? Like, this dude's not Chino Moreno. He can't just, like, make up shit as he goes.
Yeah,
I mean, because only Chino Moreno can do that.
And Greg Picado from Delta.
That's true. And, well, and also because he could rip all of our heads off at the same time.
Yeah,
because
I'm cussing. Because maybe his fists are the size of, like, honey-baked hands.
Yeah.
And his chest is about as big around as me curled up in a ball.
Yeah, exactly. So
dude is fucking huge.
He can do whatever the hell he wants.
I'm going to sit in on one of their band practices. Like, a band like Dillinger that just rips it. I just want to sit and see how
they're just like
how they write.
Go to a live show.
Yeah,
and,
I know.
And get bloodied.
Yeah. I mean, they're running across people's heads or guitar players or doing backflips and kicking
like,
and
crazy.
And it's still sounding.
Yeah, they sound
and
like
playing
heavy,
it just like record.
Yeah. And, well, I mean, it's really not just like the record because, I mean, Greg, I'm not saying he can't do all of that live.
Yeah.
He just doesn't pick it up because he's too busy jumping off of the bassist stack or breathing fire into the crowd.
Or punching kids.
Yeah, or headwalking about 30 feet out and then hammer fisting a random girl or something, you know?
Exactly. They're fucking
you gave me a really good idea for a question, but I'm going to wait until this under the circle thing is over because I have a wonderful question and you've given me the inspiration for it.
Awesome.
We can wait. We can wait.
Okay. All right.
Awesome.
Okay. Awesome. So, Jesse prefers, what did you prefer, the music or the lyrics?
First, I don't know, it comes down to the music first, really.
Yeah, that's true, that's true. Because you always hear the music first.
There's a lot of bands that can get away with bad lyrics.
Yeah,
still.
Exactly.
Oh, and there's plenty of instrumental bands that are just...
They do it
for
Russian circles.
Russian circles, explosions in the sky, this will destroy you.
Yes.
Yeah, all of them. Just do it for
Cloud
me so
Kicker.
Hard.
Dude, have you listened
God to is an astronaut?
God is an astronaut.
It's maybe one of the most underrated post-rock bands.
Oh,
absolutely.
Dude.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
I love it. So, yeah, their music comes down to me where the music is super catchy. I can forgive you for some stupid-ass lyrics.
Yeah, dude, totally. Like Jesse was right about that. Like, it really depends on, like, what it is musically. Like, you know, obviously you got some new school pop record out. Like, it doesn't matter what they're talking about. I mean, Christ, if Willow Smith could come out and be like, I went my hand back
and
forth,
and then they turn it into a dubstep song.
And that's another thing. If you become famous, the reason when you become famous is if you have a dubstep remix to one of your songs.
Yeah, that's
like, dude, if someone's gonna dubstep remix to Where Dreams Go to Die, first of all, I would shoot them for botching my creation.
Tony's got a shirt on right now of a guy who got famous on the dubstep remix
from Auto-Tune the News.
And you can run tell
that. Yeah. Don't tell
that. Not your husband.
Not your husband.
So, yeah.
God.
Ben Roethlisberger?
Yeah, he got raped by Ben Roethlisberger on Josh Boyd.
Yeah, Josh Boyd.
Oh, yeah.
First time. Yeah. So, yeah.
Oh, look, I'm a frat girl. There he goes.
You were getting at Joseph.
That's what I was getting at. Yeah.
Oh, God. Run and tell that.
Yeah, like there's definitely like the pop records that like, you know, you don't have to be saying anything, and like, and there's even bands in other genres. Like, honestly, with me, between The Buried and Me, like if I listen to like Colors,
yeah, musically, yeah,
I
totally,
don't
yeah.
give a rat's ass what Tommy Rogers is even saying. Although the lyrics on Colors are incredible because that dude just
But even if they were shit, that album would still be
fucking he could literally sing "Please Don't Burn My Toast" for the entire record, and I would be completely fine with it.
Yeah, totally.
Because
the music is
dude, the ending lead riff in White Walls right before it hits that whole section. I'm in space when I hear that, dude. I just close my eyes and just lose it.
Fuck yeah, dude.
Like, yeah, so lyrics really don't have to matter to me unless you're, like, either, like, a singer-songwriter.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right.
Or, like, to me, a lot of, like, melodic hardcore bands, like, I think they need to have, like, really good
lyrics.
Like,
yeah.
like Defeater.
Yeah.
Prime example.
They tell a story.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. Like, bands like that and, like,
when people are going to be paying attention a lot.
Yeah.
Right. Totally. Exactly. Totally. Yeah. Like, there's a band that I love that I really pay attention to their lyrics is The Carrier.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Carriers.
Dude.
Phenomenal. Yeah. Phenomenal lyrics.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, dude.
Like, and that's a thing with good melodic hardcore bands is the good melodic hardcore bands always have great...
Oh, yeah. Definitely
Great singer, great vocalist,
great
songwriters.
Amazing lyrics.
It's like that band that you showed me.
Harbors.
Yeah, Harbors is really good.
Harbors.
And also Seasons. I don't know if you checked out their lyrics
before, but
my God, their lyrics are
totally awesome.
Yeah, and another band lyrically that I love, although I will probably never understand them when I'm actually listening to the song, is Converge.
Right, yeah. Yeah, nobody understands what the fuck Jim Lennon is saying.
But he's got a skull with angel wings tattooed on his throat, and the only time I saw them in Indy, he literally jumped down in the front and was punching kids.
Yeah.
During the middle of Concubine, just... and I was like, dude, I'm like, maybe all of 16. I'm like, no. I run to the soundboard, and I'm like... The song guy's like, "You all right?" I'm like, "Fuck this! I'm hiding."
I bet there were some kids in the audience that like he hit me in the face.
Some kid literally
took a picture.
Yeah.
I remember this vividly, and it kind of scared me. I didn't go to shows for like a couple of months after this because I was kind of weirded out by it. This kid is literally running out of the back. His nose is splattered all over his face.
Fuck yeah.
And he's just like, yeah! And he's in the bathroom like, dude, you okay? He's like, it's all for Converge, man. Breaks his nose back and goes back into the crowd.
Oh,
yes. I just
that's metal.
That shit happened. No, that shit happened at Jared from Facts of Life's birthday.
Oh, yeah.
A dude got fucking punched in the nose and he was just like, dripping. I took a piss. While Swan was setting up and came down and I walked into the kitchen, this dude's like dripping just like blood everywhere. I was like,
what happened? Like I was outside, I think.
Yeah.
Me and Nash were outside having a cigarette, and we walked back in. And we're like, what the fuck
happened,
dude?
There's blood all over the sink and shit.
Yeah, dude. Yeah. Like he just
And he ended up staying for the show, too.
I know!
He's wearing a pea coat, too. He's, like, looking all nice.
Yeah, dude, he's all like GQ and shit.
Yeah,
blood
yeah.
everywhere.
Blood, yeah.
It's like, he looked like if Andrew W.K. was trying to be Patrick Bateman,
slick
back with his face all bloody. He's like, whatever, dude, fucking...
Yeah, exactly. No, it was pretty awesome. So, like...
I wanted to high-five that dude, but, like, dude, you're fucking rad!
Metal.
Ugh!
Metal.
See the cover of my album!
So, Tony, how do you feel about it?
I think it kind of depends on what your perspective is when you listen to music, because all of us are musicians.
Yeah.
I mean, every single one of us plays an instrument. Like, I noticed when I was younger, in my younger years, it was all about lyrics. You know?
Right.
My favorite band of all time, you know, I get a lot of flack for this, but Offspring, just going to say it.
Dude.
You know, I mean...
The guy who asked this question, his favorite band is... One of his favorite bands is The Offspring, so...
Excellent band. And I literally, like, their lyrics are spectacular, and that's what got me into them. Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
Everything was powerful, you know?
Yeah.
But as I got older, and I've developed into more and more of a musician, you know, I'm getting to the point where I'm trying to conquer multiple musical instruments and stuff, you know?
Right.
And I find myself, when I listen to music now, I don't even listen to the words. I listen to... the music and I analyze it and like, you know, how's he doing this trick or whatever.
Right.
So I mean, it's all about music because, you know, good example of a band who has phenomenal lyrics and a mediocre album and I couldn't get into it was Muse's most recent.
I heard like half of a song and I was just like,
this is not,
I don't get it.
Yeah.
Are you okay?
My dog just busted in here.
Yeah. I was saying, that was the, right. You heard something, yeah.
Yeah, that was the dog busting in my door, yeah. So, yeah.
Broke through.
Yeah.
Do you need to go collect yourself? Like, you're going to be cool? Yeah. Right on, dude.
Still trying to batter her.
Yeah, he's still trying to get in. Yeah, it's Tucker. He's still trying to get in. Yeah.
I just watched Sailor Manhandle it back out the door.
He's just quietly like, no.
Roll. I was like, why is the door opening? This dog, okay.
Yeah, but anyways, you were saying, Muse, I was actually, like, starting to, like, get moderately into Muse, like, because I'd never really liked Muse a whole lot.
Right.
I was moderately getting into some of their stuff, and then like, I listened to, like, their newest album, and I was like, oh, I just hate them all over again.
Yeah. I mean, seeing them in concert, yeah, for me was a religious experience.
Yeah.
Where did you see Muse?
I saw them in Chicago last year. I can't remember what the arena's called. Staler, you'll probably be able to help me, but where the Blackhawks play was
United Center.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I saw them with the Silver Sun pickups, and I had a blast. It was an amazing show. I mean, they put on the best
show. I do like
show
Silver
Sun
pickups.
Ever seen.
I'm not gonna lie, I was kind of freaked out when I found out the singer from Silver Sun pickups was a dude.
Yeah, I was the same way. I argued with the singer of my band for days on it. I swear to God, I've seen them.
Yeah, I forget.
That is a man on vocals.
Yeah, yeah. I forget the name of the song, the one where it's like, it's evolution, maybe. Like, I listened to that and I was like, that's a chick. There's no way that's a chick. And then I watch the video and I'm like, that's a fucking dude.
It is a dude. It is. Yeah.
You're a dude with long hair and a lazy eye.
Yeah.
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 Yeah, man. It's like, seeing Muse play live. Phenomenal.
Oh, yeah, awesome.
It's a religious experience. You know, three guys on stage and they put out symphony quality music, you know.
Oh, man.
If you listen to everything that they've ever done, from Showbiz to Black Holes and Revelations, every single album is it's progressive. You're not listening to the same crap over and over again.
Yeah.
It's beautiful music. Absolutely love it.
Yeah.
You know, and you know, the lyrics have always been consistently good. It seems like Matt Bellamy has always got something going on in his head that he's got to write about.
Oh,
know?
Dude, totally. Like...
And it's just, the Resistance came out, and I literally bought it at midnight on iTunes, which is against my religion, so I'm not a big fan of iTunes, but,
right,
you know, I literally bought it, listened to it, and I was really disappointed. Like, I was literally heartbroken. I was like, this is just not the same.
Not even gonna lie, on the way home, I'm totally gonna crank Origin of Symmetry for the rest of the day.
It's a beautiful album.
Dude, that's probably my favorite Muse album.
When you guys leave, I'll probably just still be listening to the Moving Mountains latest record.
I'm gonna get that when I get home, because I think our internet is actually working correctly today. So.
Good, yeah, because that needs to be got.
Because that's the only reason why I haven't got it, because our internet's been kind of
right
weird.
Right on.
We got lazy and forgot to repair. Whoops.
So the chick in the room, what do you prefer, music or lyrical quality?
I'm all
shut
about-
up.
Hey, you gotta be more violent with my lady, okay? Smack her in the face.
You smack her in the face.
Shut
her
face. I was gonna say,
she's got that redhead fire. I like that.
Anyway, so yeah, what do you think?
No, you're not gonna tell me to shut up again.
No.
Shut
up.
Okay.
I was gonna say, No, go for real. This
time. Yeah, we're not. We'll restrain. We'll restrain.
Third time's a charm.
Once I stop laughing, start looking in. But I'm going to school for voice right now, and it's actually kind of funny because even there, they say that as long as you still sing the right notes, what you're actually singing doesn't really matter. If you forget the words, that's fine. You just better have the right notes.
And for some bands, that actually works. I wouldn't say much melodic hardcore bands, but
no, there are some bands honestly, Me Without You.
Mm-hmm.
Aaron Wise can just go up there and just, like, if this is more like older, like A to B Life or like the album after that, but the one with like January 1979 or whatever. When he still did a lot of, like, rambling or whatever, like, he could totally do that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even know what he's saying half the time. He's like,
Well, who knows what Tom York from Radiohead is saying?
I know.
Have you heard their latest?
He doesn't even know what he's saying.
Have you heard their latest?
He fills his mouth with cotton.
Have you heard their latest EP?
It's dumb.
No, I haven't.
It's just him, like, just whining on all the tracks. Just like,
he's like a dinosaur from Meet the Robinsons when he says, "I have a large head and tiny arms," and they have to, like, put the captioning.
Like, the first like two songs are like drum and bass.
Really?
Just like with him like whining. I'm just like, this is not the Radiohead I grew up with.
Yeah.
At all.
They got dumb.
Yeah, they got like
seeing Devil Wears Prada play live. I swear their singer, I always forget his
Mike
name.
Mike Haranica.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I swear that guy goes ja wah ba wah wah, like that's all he ever does. Ja wah ba wah, like
okay. Really was toothless.
Really quick.
Really
quick rant.
He really
rant.
Is missing a lot of teeth. I've had him in my face.
really quick rant on the Devil Wears Prada. Me being old, I remember seeing them when they used to play at CPAC before anyone knew who they were, before Rise even knew who they were. And dude, how are you going to go with a swoop and the spikes in the back and a V-neck shirt down to about
belly button.
Yeah. To now having throat tattoos and trying to sound like Jacob Bannon when you covered Big Timers 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Burn
yourself alive.
There's just so many bands that do that, too. Like, you got all these 18 and 19-year-old kids, and our scene down south is flooded with them. With the kids, they got their super-duper skinny jeans on, they got their V-necks, their knee-high Chucks, because those are back in for whatever reason. And they got their, like, 1985 Joan Jett black hair, you know, and they just go up there. We've got a couple bands, I'm not going to naysay, but it, you know, because they're really cool guys, but we've just got so many bands that have that image, and it just bothers me so much.
As it should bother you.
It's, you know, I mean,
music is not an image, it's an art.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And that's I've seen
bands go up there with dirty, you know, baggy jeans on, and they're, you know,
and I'm sorry, but like when I think Southern Indiana music scene, I think image over music.
Yeah, it really is.
That's
fashion over passion, dude.
Yeah,
oh, absolutely.
That's
like
exactly
spend
what
more
I mean.
Time figuring out what they're gonna wear for the show,
and that always fucking just like
I saw. We played outside at VU a couple weeks ago, and I don't even remember what this band was called, but you know they had the image down. You know, they all had really nice gear and everything, and. They do this, I don't know how bad it is here in Indy, but in Evansville, it's awful. We see all these guys that, they got their 5150s and their Mesa Cabs and their ESPs and Schecter Omens and stuff. And they got, like, their skinny jeans and their V-necks, and they all look the same.
They all look like the same person.
Mm-hmm. And then they sit there, and this is what really bothers me about them, is they go on there, they do their sound checks, and they're sweeping and going nuts and just, you know, Putty Ranger.
Yeah.
That's what I call it, Putty Ranger guitar playing.
Noodling. Yeah.
And, you know, and you sit there, you're like, these guys are all really good musicians. And then they start their set, and it's 30 minutes of breakdowns. Transition from one breakdown to another. Stop. You know, of Mice and Men, I guess.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Kind of hit that nail on the head.
Yeah. Synchronized headbanging.
Evansville is literally flooded with breakdown bands.
Yeah.
Just one breakdown to another. One breakdown to another, and then a singing part that's just like two or three notes.
Well, yeah.
And let's hold out sustain notes. Sorry, I had a call. Devil Wears Prada, once again.
Yeah.
No catchy choruses.
No,
there's no delivery on the chorus. Let's just have clean singing for the sake of having clean
singing.
Dude,
honestly, I remember you introduced me to Miss May I like years ago.
When they were all like 16 and good.
Yeah,
and
they
like,
were fucking
I just heard that last
brutal.
Night.
Brutal.
I saw them at Logos in Franklin several years ago.
Oh, dude.
It was back in like 06 or 07. And I literally saw them on stage, and they were like a bunch of 15-year-old kids. I'm like, this is a joke. You got to kidding me. And they started playing. I was like, oh my god.
And now
they're
just
brutal.
Like they're just like any crabcore band.
Mm-hmm. Really, yeah.
Like seriously.
Dude, that's Ohio, man. I hate to talk crap about a scene, but like I said, you know, we were talking about it before.
You've never been high on Ohio anyways.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can keep your lovers, Ohio.
Yeah, keep your lovers. I don't even know why they say that, because every time I've ever been to a show in Ohio, it's locals only. It's worse than Venice Beach, man. If you're not from Ohio, the best band from Indiana, take the best metal, hardcore, whatever the genre is, take the most phenomenal band we have, like an A-lister, set them up in a show in Ohio, and the kids that play power chords will always get more rep than they will. The kids come to the shows. I kid you not, we got really good friends. We stole their guitar player recently, but at the Trumpet Sound, really good friends of ours, amazing dudes. You know, we went on tour with them. I mean, they're blood to us.
Yeah.
And there were people in the audience flipping them off, booing them just when we were playing at the Attic. And I was disgusted. Mm-hmm. I'm literally disgusted. Like, Ohio kids are so snobby sometimes, and Bloomington's getting that way too. Like,
yeah.
It's just so,
well, I hear
body, so
yeah,
complacent,
I hear
you know,
yeah.
And everybody just... What happened to the days when you went to a show and you had fun?
Yeah.
Well,
that's what we're trying to bring back now.
Exactly. Like, we played at Rhinos with Stand Your Ground and Valero and Sovereign Strength, a few other, like, really good hardcore acts. We went to Bloomington Mall, and once we said we were playing at Rhinos, people just immediately, like, shut the door in our face. Like, no, I'm not going.
Yeah.
The place is awful. I don't go to shows. Sorry. You know,
yeah.
I got better things to do. Come on.
Well, like Chad said a few weeks ago, I mean, Indiana's got to get family or we're going to get
it really
home.
Does. Yeah. It really does.
We're going to get... That was the best way you could put it.
Oh, totally.
Is you got to, you know...
And that was one thing that a lot of the venues of the old days used to do, you know, when I grew up here.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, Indy's my turf. I grew up in Mars Hill. We had a venue. I don't know if any of you guys are familiar with it. We had this place called Primo's.
Primo's? I've heard of
yes,
Primo's. I never went, but I heard about it.
It was like... For a while, they sold, like, hubcaps and tires and stuff, and all of a sudden, it was like, let's be an arcade, you know? They were an arcade with pool tables for a while, and then they started having bands play. Awful place. Acoustics sucked. They had, like, two floor monitors with their PA, pretty much. But
yeah. That's the Lions Club here in Brownsburg.
Yeah, every single week, man, we had kids there, and I know that, you know, you guys have said some things about the Emerson, but, you know, 10 years ago when I was going to the Emerson when I was first introduced to the local scene.
Yeah, yeah, totally, yeah.
Every weekend I was there, regardless of who was playing, I was always there.
Yeah.
And there were always people there. They all knew me by name, you know, and...
Now they're just a bunch of fucking...
There was a really sweet venue, kind of like, I think it's sort of West Side Indy. It's the Volcano Room.
The Volcano Room.
That
I remember
was
the Volcano Room. That place was so cool.
All the times I remember seeing Tubring there.
Oh,
and,
hell yeah.
And Emerson and everywhere else in Indy. I saw Tubring about a million and a half times and it never got old. And I miss the Volcano Room a lot. That was actually where I kind of got broken into the local scene a lot. You know,
right here it was the Brownsburg Lions Club.
Brownsburg Lions Club and Eden Hall.
Yeah, Eden Hall.
Eden Hall way back in the day. Yeah. I remember going to... maybe if we run shows at Eden Hall.
And that was where because we had like Hoods here.
Yeah, Hoods played here, Calico System played here, like three or four.
Gwen Stacy, like a lot.
Gwen Stacy, dude, they're, they played there a couple times.
Yeah.
Their old band, what were they called? The Romance played there, I think, once.
Yeah. They had a lot that I can't even remember because I was in high school back, but like, we used to have shows, like, you know, every Friday.
And that was back when everybody was so tight-knit with each other. I just remember my first show ever that I ever went to, I was 11 years old.
Yeah.
I was an 11-year-old kid. And nowadays, if an 11-year-old went to the Emerson or Rhinos, everybody would just blow them off and ignore them. But people were, like, really cool to me and stuff.
Yeah.
And that's, like, I always felt, you know, you're going to have new
people. Well, that's how, like, it was kind of, like,
it needs to be that way.
It kind of got, it was that way, like, to begin at the Lions Club and stuff. But then, like, the straight edge... kids just like...
Oh, yeah, it started to get really clicky. And
it got, like, real clicky, and then there was just, like, no more. There's no more at the Lions Club.
Well, they probably they couldn't, because He Who Corrupts said, I want everyone to run around the building naked.
Yeah.
That was funny. It's like, all right, everybody get naked.
Yeah.
Because they played one song, and the singer starts off, he's wearing a suit. Full-on three-piece suit, tie, sunglasses, everything. End of the song, completely naked. He literally just ripped shit off as he's doing the song. Then he goes, all right, everyone get naked. Except for me and like three other people. They open up the doors and goes, circle pit. And they just start running around the building. Me, literally, there's like me and five people sitting there watching them play. And we're just like,
what is going on here?
I'm not okay with this.
Okay. I go outside and there's cops everywhere.
Yeah.
I was like, I'm just gonna go.
I mean,
I'm gonna head back to Marion County before I end up in jail.
Yeah. Well, you were walking with clothes on, so you're like,
Yeah, and I was like, I didn't do this.
Yeah, they don't want to be guilty by association in that situation.
And then, there was the, and then there was that one fucking place with the property.
Oh, dude, the property? Oh, man. My old band, Mascarona, our drummer had this, like, property, literally, go figure, out in Whiteland, Indiana. It was, like, a pole barn and a bunch of, like, semi-trailers and broken-down school buses on this place. Oh, it was badass. Yeah. Like, they hit me up. This is before I joined the band. When I was singing for Hotter Than Nashville, they were like, dude, we have this pole barn that we play out at in Whiteland. And I was like, all right, dude, we're a southern hardcore band. What would be better than to play in a hay barn in Whiteland, Indiana? So we're like, fuck it, dude, let's do it. We show up. They're trying to do a generator. Like, they have, a big-ass gas generator that they're powering everything out of. And, like, they couldn't get it to start. We had just driven, 45 minutes to get here, and I'm like, I literally pulled John, who now sings for the Contortionist.
Yeah.
I pulled him aside. I was like, dude, if this fucking thing doesn't work, we're leaving, and we're never playing a show with you again. He's like, dude, we do it all the time. It's cool. I didn't find out until after we played. It was their second show.
Yeah.
So I was like, oh, Jesus Christ. So they finally got it. They finally got it going, and, dude, that place literally, we had, floodlights set up all over the place. Yeah. People were throwing hay at each other.
Climbing up the barn.
Hanging from the rafters and shit. Yeah.
And then, propelling themselves off of it.
Yeah, dude, hanging upside down on their knees and shit, swinging punches, and then they'd let go, fucking flip down, land, and start dancing again.
Yeah.
And hay was always insane. In the air.
Oh, dude.
Oh, if you had asthma, you were dead.
If you had any sort of breathing condition.
Any respiratory problem,
hay allergies, you might as well not even bother.
No,
you would die. Yeah, dude, I can't count the amount of times I would be driving home and looking down at my legs and they're completely black.
Yeah.
Just whatever was in
there. Oh, my God, yeah.
Oh, such fun.
Oh, and I have respiratory problems, and I got in there anyways.
Yeah, you got in there anyway, and I can just tell, the look on your face. You're like, I can't breathe.
But,
why?
But I would still have to have people, fucking jump on me and shit.
Yeah, you're like, dude, literally kids were, piling on you, and you're just like, ah! Charging through the barn.
Those are the glory days.
Oh, yeah, and it's sad that shows aren't like that
anymore. Oh, I know, man. Well, that shit was, just so, cheesy.
Dude,
it was so cheesy.
It was so cheesy, but
you could just
so
really,
DIY.
Yeah,
it's disgusting.
You guys don't know
cheesy.
And there is none of that anymore.
You guys don't know cheesy until you played the Mike's Dance Bar in Nashville, Indiana, where I went to high school.
I think I have one that tops you.
What's that?
The Mayor's Palace. Do you remember? Did you guys ever play at the Mayor's Palace?
We did one time. Yes.
Okay, the Mayor's Palace, this area where they designate as the stage. It's number one. It's not even raised up off the ground. It's just the corner of the room. But there's, painted background, it's, a Hawaiian, luau, there's potted palm tree with Christmas lights on it. It's just this little hole in the wall, Main Street, Vincennes, Indiana, pretty much.
Ew.
And there's, a grocery store across the street, so everyone would walk over there and get Monster or whatever. And there's, a Chinese place crossway, so you could go get Chinese. If someone sucked was playing, whatever.
Is this place still in existence?
It is still in existence, but I don't know. No one has played a show there in a really long time, and it kind of makes me
Book mad. Rumor has it there. I want to shut this place down.
That reminds me. We found a dead bat one time in a corner.
Oh, that's awesome.
The bassist for Serrated picked up this dead bat and literally chased every 13-year-old little seedy bopper girl in the whole room, chased them with this dead bat, and then proceeded to put it in his mouth.
Oh!
And then walked around with it sticking out of his pants for a little while.
Whoa! Did he go to a doctor, after everything?
Devin.
That was Devin? Yeah. That would be him.
Oh.
See, this is
a little much.
It was awesome, though. It was awesome.
With that area, though, man, it's, so hard for us
and
to find
a
place
to play.
$4. Because, the Intersect venue went under.
Yeah.
Very poor management.
Because the fucking... pastor there's a cunt.
I'm not going to comment on that.
That dude just had a cunt for a face.
Yeah.
He's probably going to grow up to be even a bigger cunt.
Yeah, yeah.
Have some more
cunt. Anyways, this is the problem.
Yeah.
Jesse's dropping gold this week.
His kid was a fucking cunt, though. He was like one of those kids that if you said one word to him, he'd cling and hump your leg for 3 hours.
Oh, God. The Intersect venue was magical. I mean, like,
amazing.
The first year or so, you know, I hate to talk crap.
Dude, I'm telling you, that Intersect venue was not fucking magical.
Okay. You were there in the end. Okay, you were not there in the end. I gotta stand up to you on this one.
I was there.
In the beginning, it sucked.
Yeah.
In the beginning, because first of all, we were in the kids' church playing.
The last show I ever went to at an Intersect venue, I was a judge for a battle of the bands.
See, it's gotten a lot better. We were drawing like 80 to 90 kids a show, which for Vincennes is spectacular.
I'm talking about the venue itself.
Because we only have a population
itself.
Of like 200.
Like,
no, I'm just kidding.
I don't know.
You know, I mean, you're always going to have your naysayers, but you know, we were actually making an impact. We were actually starting to build a really amazing scene. And then the Intersect went down, and then, you know, we had a door open up to us, Xander's down the street, literally like two or three blocks down. It's like a coffee shop slash ice cream place, but they had this huge room in the back, and we used to have shows there, but we got a lot of noise complaints, and, you know, it's like, we just got signed to Red Court Records, and...
Well, that's the problem with Vincent's, though, is there is no, like...
It's very hard for us to develop.
Everything closes at 8 p.m.
Yeah.
Except Denny's and Walmart.
Yeah.
That's all you have.
The majority of that population is, you're either old or dead already.
or dead inside, apparently.
Yeah.
Like, everything closes at 8 p.m., so, like, having a show... Yeah.
It's really hard to find stuff
but
to do.
But you gotta give props to Zach for persevering with that.
Well, yeah.
It's real easy for a guy who wants to start a venue to cop out and come to, like, indie, you know?
Right.
You can open up a venue here, and if you're not a total a-hole, you can do really well.
Like,
but
dude from the ES Jungle.
Exactly. Oh, I've been hearing nothing but amazing things about that place, and I really want to get us booked there. Yeah.
Dude, honestly, all you gotta do is just get on the ES Jungle's Facebook. I actually am, like, I'm, you know, decently, you know, kind of known at the ES Jungle, because, like, I go there a lot, and I talk to Steven and all of them a lot, and, like, they fucking love Room Hazard. Like, if there's a show on there, dude, I will totally mention you guys and try to get you guys on a show there.
I would love it. But what I was saying earlier is, like, we're trying to find a place to put on a show because we just got signed to Red Chord, you know. We're throwing down a lot of money on our record. We have to record with them.
Yeah.
We pay, like, a flat fee, and we're going to get to do 3 records with them. Which is not bad. They're paying for our hotel and stuff, too. So, I mean, it's, like, a really good deal. We get, like, booking and all that crap, you know. Everything gets taken care of on that front. Which, really, when you sign to a record label, you don't want it to be, like, face down. Where, here, put your sticker on there. That's it. You know, have fun. You know, you want somebody who will book for you and everything. But the problem is, I told you guys about when we went on tour with Joliet in December. Another great band, by the way. Joliet is excellent. Another Red Chord band. We crashed our van in the snow. Totaled it, blew the transmission out. We were stranded at a McDonald's / gas station for like 12 hours waiting on somebody to come and get us.
Damn.
We're having like a real pain in the butt time finding a new van. And we're trying to like set up some kind of a benefit show. Like get us and Sidelined, maybe a couple other locals that draw a decent crowd. You know, just help us out. You know, a lot of bands do it. And we're having the worst time finding a place to play. We cannot find a place that like they can have a large group of people because, you know, not to sound like a cocky, you know, jerk or anything, but, you know, we draw a fairly decent crowd. We've been playing at Vincennes for 3 years, so we can easily get 100 kids at our show if we really try hard enough. Maybe not now, because VU kids have gone home, but it's just, it's so hard for us to find a place to play, you know, and we got THMV. Nobody wants to try to drive to Terre Haute.
Terre Haute stinks.
Yeah,
smells.
And then Boney June's. It's impossible to get booked at Boney June's.
Oh, and Boney June's, the kids who show up at Boney June's are just...
Yeah, we opened up for I Wrestle the Bear once last year. Right, it was actually around a year ago now.
Yeah.
And I was literally astonished at how... I mean, these kids literally came here to see I Wrestle the Bear once, which... A great band. They put on a great show. They're really cool, down-to-earth. They're not like, you know, Attack, who goes up there and... total D-bags, but...
Poops.
Poops. We opened up for them, and they didn't even play, so that just gives you an idea of what we're up against there. But, you know...
Wait, you opened for Attack, and they didn't play.
Yeah. It was a Terre Haute music venue. Great venue. They were up on there sound checking, screaming at each other, cussing at each other, calling the venue PA a piece of crap and stuff like that. Like, we're sitting there like, oh my God. You know, just disgusted with these guys. And then, like, literally minutes before they go on, one of their newest singer, it wasn't Austin Carlisle, I think it was, like, the new guy that they got to replace him.
I don't fucking know anything.
I got nothing.
Yeah, it's cool. Whatever. I don't expect anybody to know auto-tune metalcore.
I'm Billy Blanks over here.
I'm Billy Blanking out.
Literally minutes before they're supposed to go on, I mean, like, this is the anticipation, like, oh, yay, we're 14 and Attack Attack's coming on. You know, like, they literally bailed. So all these people paid like $12 at the door to see three local bands. It was us, the Drama Scene, and Forgotten Tragedy. And they paid to see
Forgotten Tragedy?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
It's a moment I've heard in a while.
Like, they're, the ES Jungle last month, Set Your Goals canceled on them, and they still had a show, but they cut the show down to like $5.
Yeah, it was like a $10 show. Yeah. Set Your Goals' van had broke down in the middle of Missouri, I believe.
Yeah, it was Missouri.
Yeah.
And he just chopped the price. And
yeah,
and
Joe.
Which is
it
with vans.
Yeah.
Vans just died.
Yeah, yeah. That's what they were made to do, yeah.
Yeah, the thing
so
is.
So these kids didn't even get reimbursed any.
I don't know. Honestly.
Oh, I would have raised.
I would have never gone to see Attack Attack.
Well,
if I were
one of those kids that went to that show and dropped that much coin and the band is on stage and then they just go, fuck you, and walk off.
First of all, I'm waiting in the back for them.
Yeah, first of all, I'm sitting behind the back door with a fucking crowbar in my hand going, I want my money back or someone's losing teeth.
Yeah.
I fucking love
it. You know, the thing is, though, is that Mikey that runs THMV is a really cool guy, so I don't see
I don't see him
doing something like that. You know, like, he's a really cool guy. He's a really friendly dude. He always helps us
but
out.
But he's also a business owner.
Yeah, he is.
He's a business owner, but I've heard nothing but good things about the guys from the venue out there.
Yeah,
like,
yeah
I don't think I've ever
he
been
would
there.
Have found a way I, to do something, like, to reimburse those people. Like,
I don't think I've ever been to the Terre Haute Museum.
I haven't played.
Sound system, amazing.
Yeah.
Every time they play there, they kill it.
Yeah.
Rumor has it played there before I joined the band. They played the Hey Bastard CD release show for Rex out there.
That wasn't that long ago. That was
whatever happened to Hey Bastard.
Hey Bastard? The guy who is actually doing our record, Joel Auver, plug. He is actually singing for Hey Bastard now.
Really?
Dude, I'm not even kidding, and I'm not saying this, Joel, if you're hearing this because, you know, I'm paying you a lot of money to record my record. I'm saying this as a fan in general. I love the new Hey Bastard track with Joel on it.
Yeah.
It's so good, dude.
I haven't heard anything from Hey Bastard.
Check it out. It's called Southern Discomfort is the name of the song. Boner.
All right, and there's Joe getting all fucking corporate on everybody. There's Joe getting all corporate kiss ass on everybody. on the Under the Circle podcast.
My musical dick is hard enough to hunt with.
Nice. But yeah, I've never been to, like, I've been to, like, Boney June's and place in Evansville that puts on fucking crazy shows is that, what was that church that had Bane?
Oh, Resurgence?
Resurgence.
Oh, yeah, I've heard.
Dude.
I heard about that shit.
Dude. They had Bane, our last year at Vincennes, and then, which was almost going on 2 years ago, and then last year, they had Cruel Hand and Backtrack.
Oh,
yeah.
God.
Ouch.
Ouch.
Yeah. And the vocalist of the band Jawbone from Evansville, Indiana, runs that venue.
Yeah, that's right.
And they know how to fucking run shit. They know how to run a hardcore show. I'll tell you that much right now.
Awesome.
Sound quality, shit. Fucking
sound quality is
shit. But the energy will fucking just crush you.
Oh, yeah, dude. That's the most.
It's exactly what you would say. It's exactly what you want to hear when you play in a fucking room that is just nothing but a window and a fucking pole in the middle of it.
Yeah.
Like a,
just a
like an equipment
room.
That's exactly what you would, yeah.
Dude, that reminds me of the old venue in Terre Haute, the Legacy.
Yes.
The Legacy. There was multiple different versions of the Legacy. The original Legacy was, like, they used it for, like, Golden Gloves boxing, too. So there's a big-ass boxing ring in the middle of the venue. I always thought if they literally just set the bands up and played in the boxing ring,
greatest venue ever.
Absolutely.
Dude, that I would love to play in a boxing
ring. That's a little bit too much a mirror for me, but
because the reason why I wanna do it is because of the Smooth Criminal Alien Ant Farm video.
Oh.
I've always wanted to play in a fucking boxing ring because of that. Just to be just ridiculous shit, dude. I'd dress up like Rocky Balboa in the 76 Rocky. Like white and red shorts, fucking the whole thing, but not be all a mirror and shit like
and have a mouthpiece that says violence while you're fucking singing.
Hang out with Kurt Angle.
I'd have a grill like Leo from Animosity that said brutal.
Nice. Whatever happened to Animosity?
They broke up and their drummer's playing for Animals as Leaders.
Oh, great. That makes sense. All right, sweet. Now that we got that taken care of.
Leo's doing some, like, environmental stuff now. Like, he's, like, going to school for, like, environmental science or some shit like that.
All right, well, now that we got that taken care of, that was quick. Didn't even have to rant about that. Yeah, he's playing Animals as Leader. Okay, cool. All right, moving on.
Let's keep it short and tasty.
So, you guys got signed to Red Chord Records?
Yes, we did.
I've never heard of it, but...
You know, when we were talking to Joliet, nobody had, but they're moving on up in the world.
Yeah.
You know, they've actually officially announced it, so I guess I'm allowed to say it now. They just signed a distribution deal with Victory Records.
Yeah, you told me.
And which for us, it's like, you know, this is our shot. You know, we're all
getting
old. By college beginner standards, we're all grandpas now, so we got to really...
Like me.
Yeah.
I wish I could say good things about Victory Records, though. I mean, that congratulations to you guys. That's huge.
Yeah, that is a huge step.
But, every good band that's come out of Victory Records has had nothing but bad things to say about Victory Records.
Thursday, hated it.
Between the Buried and Me?
Between the Buried and Me. I don't really know.
I don't know if they said any bad things.
I don't think they really mentioned anything bad, though, but
it
was so weird. Like, dude, like, when I was, like, in metalcore in, like, 2003, 2004, I was all about Victory Records. I was like,
dude,
Atreyu's on here.
Yeah.
Freya's on here.
And then every band on Victory started selling out. Atreyu. Ugh, what are they now?
What's going on?
Their drummer has a solo record out.
No.
Really? It's a whole... for about 45 minutes.
It's really bad, too. Yeah.
Every Victory band started selling out, like, except for, like, Between the Buried and Me.
And then
Victory signed El Nino.
And O-Tep.
And O-Tep.
Oh,
yeah.
That just makes me throw
and,
up. I'm 30 and I still hit my dad.
Yeah.
And,
like,
Taproot.
Taproot.
Yeah.
I think the Sleeping's still on Victory.
Sleeping, I think, actually still is.
They are still on Victory.
They're still
not
good.
Not saying that they have all terrible bands, but they did just sign a band called A Bunny, A Bear.
Oh my god, I keep forgetting about this band.
All right,
and
you guys got a shot.
And if you have heard this band... If you haven't heard this band, go check them out. And seriously, like, from the bottom of my heart, guys, try not to fucking kill yourself.
Dude, I mean...
It took so much for me not
to... Every label's got that band.
It took me so much.
I thought Dr. Acula was bad.
Seven dudes with bandanas around their face singing about what in Christ's name are they singing about?
Who cares? Yeah, boom. Yeah, I thought Dr. Acula was one of the worst bands ever. Listen to A Bunny, A Bear. I listened to 30 seconds of a song. I have a cabinet right over there. Slam my head in it for a half an hour. Yeah. Just because.
If you're wanting to be a musician and you are doubting yourself, listen to that band.
Yeah.
Because it'll breathe
new
life into you.
Yeah.
Oh, and I would like to give a shout out, if I could, being in a Christian band, I am always cool with everybody, regardless of my opinions, even though they are very drastically negative in every occurrence.
Yeah.
I'm really nice. You guys did a good job. And in my head, I'm thinking, oh, my God.
Yeah. Let's get out of here, please.
I told our singer right now, and I'm just going to publicly announce this, that if we ever have to get stuck playing for the Black Veil Brides, I swear on everything I hold sacred that I will make it a point to tell them how awful they are.
Dude, honestly, if you guys play for...
Please do.
Honestly, I would expect you to quit the band.
I would expect you...
I hold you that high in standing.
All right. I want you to show up to the show, spit in the singer of Black Veil Bride's face, and walk.
Yeah. I'm serious. I hold you to that high of standard that I would be like, not doing it. Yeah. Find a different person. Yeah.
Literally, for some reason, my band was like, yo, dude, we're about ready to go on tour with Motionless and White. I would literally piss on all their shoes and walk away.
Yeah.
And they're my best friends in the entire world. I would literally piss on their shoes and walk away.
You have to have some sort of self-pride.
There's got to be a line.
There's
got to
be a line there.
You have to have pride, okay?
But I'm not even kidding, though. If 18 Visions did a reunion show, I would totally play it.
Oh, God.
Only if they did from, like, Until the Ink Runs Out, The Best Of, and Vanity. If they... Everything else, we don't talk about. It's kind of like He Is Legend. Everything after I Am Hollywood, talk about.
Thank you.
Although I liked like three songs on it.
See, you're talking to a guy who doesn't like it. He Is Legend either.
I know, but we mentioned this before.
Yes, this is true, yes. We were having 18 cups of coffee and talking about how shitty He Is Legend is to me.
No, actually,
and
more,
Joe was
more...
like, you're a fuck. And I was like, no, you're a fuck.
90125 and I Am Hollywood are sacred in my eyes.
You can suck a dick. And then I was like, go fuck yourself, fat ass. And I was like, you're a fucking fatter, bitch.
And I was like, fine, you're paying for my coffee, dick.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And I spit on his pancake puppies and walked out.
And then Joe had a heart attack from his apple crisp.
Dude, I'm not even gonna lie, dude. After I ate that, I had chest pains for like 3 hours.
Dude, right? It looked like it, dude.
I was totally like,
I looked at it and got diabetes instantly.
I'm pretty sure I'm diabetic now.
The things that Denny's will throw at you. It's other day we went to Denny's, and this was back before Guitar Center kind of like hurt my life. Anyway, I'll probably post a note on that later, but... Anyway, but like we were at Denny's with a couple of guys, buddies of mine, you know, it was our new guitar player, Austin, and his side project, I guess, since he's in our band now, he has to call ATTS a side project, even though he's in that just as much as Dale. But I offered to buy Cody the bacon milkshake thing.
Oh, the bacon sundae?
Like, yeah. If I told him, I was like, if you get that, if you order that and drink it, and let us all drink some of it, I will buy that for you. And I did. And it just...
It was awful.
Dude, I mean... Dude,
I'm not a big bacon fan as it is.
Well, you're a vegetarian, right?
No, not anymore.
Oh, you fell off the wagon?
Yeah, I fell off the wagon. I don't know, what was it? It was St. Patrick's Day.
Did you puke?
Huh? I took it slow.
He didn't like, I need half a rack of ribs. Some hot dogs, a piece of fried chicken, and some fucking hot dogs.
Yeah. I was like, two and a half years is enough.
Yeah.
I was like, you know, because I started being vegetarian when we were roommates in college.
Yeah.
And I was like, man, two years is enough. I wasn't eating right. And I was like really weak and lazy and unmotivated all the time. So then, like,
I know she's giving me the death glare right now because I've actually am considering doing it.
I'll kill him.
But regardless,
I probably will do it again. I probably will go back to being a vegetarian at some point.
But regardless, at the end of 2011, since the world is ending in 2012,
right,
according to the Mayans,
whatever. Yeah, whatever.
I say that with a slight twinge of sarcasm.
Yeah,
I'm giving up soda forever.
Cool.
How
are you gonna give up your Cokes, man?
I used
to drink,
but that's
the
problem.
Yeah.
You know, it's like it's so unhealthy.
So what prompted you to want to be a vegetarian?
I just. You know, I'm trying to get healthier, you know.
True that. That's what I was. I was
awful.
I was really healthy after being vegetarian for a while. I was dropping weight.
Yeah, so I'm trying to do. I'd like to get to the point where I don't look like an Ethiopian with vitiligo.
And then I graduated college and got back here and started eating nothing but, like, macaroni and cheese and cheese cubes and pizza.
It's like, what'd you do, dude? I had like a medium pizza from Papa John's, a bowl full of cheese cubes and broccoli,
and like eight bowls of Honey Bunches of Oats a night.
Yeah,
like,
you would eat like half a box of Honey Bunches of Oats.
And then like, so I was just like, man, something's got to give. So I started eating like chicken again and stuff, and now I'm back on the full thing. But when I'm, you know, once I get everything all squared away in my life, I'll probably do vegetarian, and then I'll probably do full vegan at some point.
But then you'll get superpowers.
Yeah.
Well, see, one thing I've been telling him, though, is, like, in my exercise science class, we just finished, like, going through all, like, the vegetarianism and, like, veganism, everything. And actually, with most people that are vegetarians, like in a lot of studies that they've done, just because a lot of times when people are vegetarian for a certain amount of time, they will get to the point where, like you said, you just weren't eating right anymore.
Yeah.
It's actually more healthy to eat small quantities of meat in moderation than it is to be a vegetarian. Also,
but
because
it's not,
of the iron deficiency.
It's not even like about, it wasn't even like all about health for me either, though. I really enjoy not eating animals.
Yeah. Especially some of the. I get a little bleeding heart, you know.
Yeah, I really enjoy
it. I'm a big animal nut. I love everything.
Yeah,
so I've got cats.
Yeah.
You know, I would like a dog. But, you know, I'm a grandma's boy again because of my last roommate completely destroying my whole universe and having no regard for it whatsoever, you know. But just... I don't know, man. I kind of feel guilty sometimes.
Oh, I did a lot.
Yeah, it's like I'm sitting here mowing down on some beef.
Yeah.
I'm like, I could be petting you right now.
No, that was like what it was a lot to me. But I do enjoy eating meat for right now.
Yeah, yeah.
But for sure, I will be a vegetarian again. I could. That's a fact.
If it weren't for Japanese restaurants and Chinese restaurants, I could be vegetarian.
Yeah, but I can find all sorts of good groovy stuff at Japanese and Chinese restaurants that are vegan.
And when we
China Dragon,
we'd always get at China Dragon.
Yeah, I would always have full veg. Yeah,
like noodles. And
yeah,
stuff.
So yeah,
they do General Tso's tofu at some places.
Yeah,
I ate at this one Vietnamese restaurant that they did something with their tofu that literally it tasted and looked like chicken. Like, it pulled apart, like, chicken and everything. And I was like, are you sure that it
it's incredible what they can do with
salmon. Oh, it's crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's crazy.
Yeah. And Boca burgers aren't bad.
Yeah.
Grill them some bitches up. They're pretty good.
That was actually one thing that TDC did, right? Remember that taco salad thing that we got? Like, you were set up. You're like, oh, I know you're not a vegetarian.
Yeah.
You gotta eat this. And I ended up getting, like, three of them, man.
I was like,
they had
meat in there.
It was like
tofu meat they put in, like, the...
Oh, really?
Yeah, in the taco salad. Yeah.
Oh, cool.
And it was fucking delicious. Put some taco sauce, some ranch dressing on that bitch.
Gross.
Mmm.
Gross. Ranch? Fuck
ranch.
Off.
Ranch is man sauce.
Smells like doo-doo butter.
I'm a Caesar and peanut
And honey mustard. Don't try to do
honey
mustard
problem. Me and this boy right here, honey mustard for the win.
I love honey mustard.
Look at who you're talking to. I get honey mustard on everything.
I literally got paid $5 to do a shot glass full of honey mustard one night at a bar.
I did it
with fucking pride. I licked the son of a bitch clean. I was like, give me paid, bitch.
I'd do that with ranch any day of the week.
Like John Caparulo said, I'll put ranch on dog turds if you let me.
I'm serious, dude. When we go down to like Gulf Shores and shit, we eat at this seafood restaurant called Bahama Bob's. Bring out a big fucking ketchup shooter of ranch dressing, and I'll sit at the table and be like squirting it into my mouth.
Homemade.
Just squeeze that. Oh,
it's like that easy cheese in a can, you know?
Oh, God.
Oh, man. Yeah,
it's
so good.
I'm going to do this.
But anyways, we have strayed from the path.
So I would like to take this opportunity, if I could, to ask a wonderful question to all of our musicians. I know where she's going to lean, but I'll just ask it anyway. As far as a live touring musician goes, playing in a band, whatever, what do you think is more important? When you're playing live, playing your songs perfectly, or getting into it and putting an amazing show and throwing down?
Throwing down, putting in an amazing show. Easy. That's easy for me.
Yeah, like...
So if you're playing perfect and you're just standing there looking at everything...
It depends on
protest the hero.
It depends on who, like, who's playing.
Life.
Like, if you are, like, BT Man... You have to stand still and.
We're talking like a hardcore band.
If it's like a punk band or whatever, I expect them to go balls out.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Go crazy.
I expect gang chants and fucking
throwing
down.
Yeah, I want pile-ons. I want if you're like if you're in a band like the Chariot, dude. I want you to pull
a
Casey Wolf. I want you to pull a Casey Wolf. I want you to take off your bass, chuck it in the air. This is what he did when we played with him. He chucked it in the air. Josh Scoggin walks underneath it. It lands on him, and he starts playing the bass part. And their bass player just grabs a mic and just starts doing this weird, like, Keith Richards on Ecstasy kind of thing. jumping into the crowd and shit. I'm like, no fucking way.
Yeah,
that's the stuff I want to do. But like, if you're like a more technical band,
then you have to. Yeah,
I mean, unless you're Dillinger's Escape Plan, I don't expect you to be all like throwing your guitar around while doing like eight.
If you're Seal,
tapping.
I don't expect you to come fucking throw down.
Yeah,
and if we're talking like if you're a touring hardcore band.
Oh yeah,
a show, a good fucking energetic show over a perfect set.
And that's my philosophy about that. You know, I tell my bandmates this all the time. Like, you know, we play sets.
If you're standing there for more than a second, you're not doing your job.
Not only that, but if you don't feel absolutely exhausted, if you're not sweating and panting, you didn't do it well. But then again, I've seen so many bands. Sorry for interrupting.
No, I was probably interrupting.
I've seen so many bands, like you know. They put everything they have into it, and they exhaust themselves.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's all about pacing yourself. Like, I've seen bands before, you know, that they'll play, like, their first three songs, or just they're all over the place, and the next three they're exhausted, or their singer...
Four today.
Yeah. Their singer will sit there and be like, we're such a such band. You know, like, get that asthma thing going.
See, I kind of like that, though. I don't know why.
Frankie
with hardcore bands?
Frankie from Amir did that when I saw them play with Evergreen Terrace, Stick to Your Guns, and a bunch of other rando bands. I don't remember who else. Two songs into the set, Frankie's not even looking at the crowd. His back is turned. He's all like... He sounds like a bear that got shot in the ass with a trank dart. You fat bastard, sit down. Like, God damn it.
Sit on the edge of the stage with like acoustics.
With like hardcore bands, I can see like getting exhausted, like, you know, blowing your load and stuff within like the first three sets. Sometimes it's really cool.
Yeah.
Like, Bane really did it, like, we used to like paste himself, like the
Aaron
Bedard from Bane.
Oh, dude, and Bane's been doing it since like 93.
And this guy came out in a fucking knee brace.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, fucking like 1998 Chicago Bulls division championship shirt.
Baggy,
huge. Because he's one of those old school hardcore dudes that's like, I'm not gonna pull this tight shirt bullshit.
No,
I'm gonna wear a 2X.
Yeah,
and baggy ass khaki shorts and not give a shit what you think.
And fucking
knee brace. So awesome.
By the end of the show, he was drenched in sweat, and you could tell by his face he was in an immense amount of pain.
Because he's because he's straight edge too, so he's just like, I'm not taking the medication, I'm just gonna brace this son of a bitch up.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
I'm gonna hate myself in the morning, but I'm probably gonna win some money because I'm a professional poker player too.
And and like, his voice is like, he fucking wailed out like three songs in, but it was like, still like, he was like putting the mic to the crowd and they were all singing him.
Oh,
so that's cool.
He still have his spurts, like, where his voice would come back, but then he would start, you know, everybody would still be jumping in.
But that's just how it goes.
Yeah,
and it was fucking
absolutely
amazing.
Oh, dude, yeah.
Well, every time I've seen them get really, you know, De La Mora into shows, every time that they've really got into it to the point where you don't even want to touch them after the show, they normally play better.
Yeah.
Like, at least in my opinion, maybe it's just from the energy, but the best times
energy,
I've ever heard
energy.
You definitely feel the energy.
And hardcore energy is the most important thing.
Yeah.
But I mean, just when it comes to live, at least.
When it comes to live, at least.
Yeah,
like,
energy is just one of the most important things.
And if you're, like, super technical, though, like I said, like, I don't expect you to be, like, flailing your guitar around. Like, even if you, like, if you show that you're getting into it and you're just standing there, like, if you're, like, you know, nodding your head to it and stuff while you're doing this weird lead thing, it's like, hey, you're doing all you can without severely fucking up.
I couldn't play that shit.
Yeah, I know.
That's like the first.
That's like when I saw Between the Buried and Me play with Fear Before the March of Flames and Dead of Winter. Like, really fucking
The guy that recorded our CD that is playing at the beginning of this, he's in Dead of Winter. Sean Daly.
Yeah, Sean.
That's our boy.
They just played last night at In the Face of War.
I wanted
show.
To go to that so bad.
I fucked up.
I didn't go.
Dead of Winter is so good.
Dude,
you suck.
You didn't go either, Dan.
Fuck you. I was sick yesterday.
Yeah, I worked all day. And I thought.
Well, I wasn't sick. I was fucking hungover as shit yesterday.
I
was drinking Killian's Irish Red the night before.
Oh, well, there's your problem.
And I woke up really, really early. Like, I went to bed, like, me and Jesse got home at, like, I don't know what time it was about. I went to bed around 4, came home, made some Honey Bunches of Oats. Watch 2.5 Men.
Yeah.
And sat down and went to bed, and like I went to bed and like well, I didn't go to bed. I passed out. I had a glass of wine when I got into before the Honey Bunches of Oats. And it was before the Honey Bunches of Oats.
Oh, I'm sorry.
It's classy, all right.
It's classy for eight, my
then, and then I passed out, and I woke up, and it was 7:30 a.m. And I was like, "There's no way I went to bed more than 3 hours ago." So I woke, and I couldn't go back to sleep, and I was just drawn out, like I like getting out. It took me like 3 minutes to get out of my bed.
You just felt disgusted,
yeah.
And you're just in
went
pain.
Downstairs, had 2 cups of coffee, came up, threw up the cups of coffee.
Yeah. Yeah. You lay in the bottom of your shower for hours and just let the water
wanted
hit you.
To. Oh god! And then I was like, man, I need to get feeling better so I can go to the show tonight. And like I was about to go to the show, and I fucking just I couldn't get it out of the driveway. I was just like so drawn out. Like I was just like, oh my god. I can't do this. I can't go. I'd instantly get in the show and start sweating and probably puke.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I didn't go, but...
I was a lazy piece of shit.
Apparently it was fucking immaculate.
Apparently, In the Face of War played for 2 hours.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, when you've been playing shows for an entire decade...
Yeah.
You gotta cover some shit.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. That was a good. Oh my god!
I know. Believe me. If I was, I'd probably be choking you right now. But yeah, dude. Like Dead of Winter played with the Indifference of Good Men lineup, and I'm so bummed I missed that.
It happens, man.
Like everything I saw on Facebook was just like Mitch, the singer from It's All Happening, was like. Who, like me, is completely exhausted after the In the Face of War show? And I'm like, oh, God, I hate you.
Yeah, I know.
And then, like, my other friend, Mitch, he's like, I want to stage dive as many times as I did last night all summer. And I was like, damn it. I wanted to stage dive.
Fuck my life.
I wanted to headwalk one time in my life.
I really wanted to go, and, like, I just, like, felt like fucking so much hell.
Yeah.
And I knew I'd throw up on somebody.
Yeah, and I had to get a Mother's Day gift today, or for today, so...
Yeah.
I was hopefully Mom doesn't listen to this, but I was out like 11 o'clock last night, like, running through mire through the floral section, like, I need a fucking plant! Give me something!
Yeah.
And I was like, this works!
Yeah.
And I just ran in.
I'm sure it was immaculate, though. I mean, under the circle guys aren't going to shows. Whoa! Good.
I know. But trust me, we are going to start going to shows.
Oh, yeah, we're going to start doing live podcasts.
I feel really bad about it, because I actually promised Sean Daly that I would be there. So, man. He's like, yeah, you should come. I was like, I would love to come. Like,
sometimes it just doesn't work out like you want it to.
Yeah.
I was all prepped and ready to go the night before. Yeah.
I totally would have went, except... You know, Guitar Center and Musician's Friend. If anybody is considering doing something through them, don't. Especially if you're an idiot like me and you paid over $1,000 for an orange cab and then canceled it and then they sent it anyway.
And charged you for it anyways. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then made you $700 in the hole.
Yeah, I owe my bank $700 now.
Yeah, so yeah.
Which... And I've got a record to pay for, too.
And I assure everybody, we were all planning on going.
Things happened, things got in the way.
Yeah, so...
It's life.
The next big show will be it, though, for sure. All three of us.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, which will be probably 4 years strong tomorrow. I know I'm going.
I'm more than likely will probably be there.
Okay. I don't know. Yeah, I'm going.
I'm totally going to go.
Yeah.
So at least one of us from Under the Circle will be there, and we will definitely be talking about that next week.
Sure. We've got to close up. We're over. Yeah. We're at an hour and 18 minutes.
Oh, holy shit.
I figured since we didn't put one up last week, we could go into the hour and a half range.
Yeah, we can do that. Just a real quick. Well, I'm going to ask a real quick question. Real quick rundown. Like, how did
Hey, dude, we're going to run a little bit longer today since...
We're going to run a little bit longer because we...
Right. I'm on it, I'm setting a Under the Circle record here.
Yeah. No, it's cool, man. It's all good, man.
Well, Zach, our singer, myself, and Jesse over here, we were in the... you were in that class, too, the audio...
Yeah.
Audio-video thing with Brooks
and... Yeah.
whatever the guy's name was.
Yeah, I was in that class
too. We did that stupid project with the utility tool.
Yeah.
Zach and I kind of bonded a lot. I was doing my solo record at the time, which is finished, and it is released, I guess, but I hate it, so I don't tell people about it. But
you won't let me hear it.
I won't let her hear it, and her and I have been dating for almost a year now. So, anyway, Zach and I really bonded. I bonded with these two guys. Obviously, I lived with you for a year. But, you know, Zach asked me one day if I would sit and record with him on his engineering day. So I did, played some guitar for him. And he asked me to come and jam with him and our first rhythm guitar player, Kyle. So I went to his house and we were doing this three-piece, like, kind of pop-punk thing, a little bit, just jamming, not really taking it seriously. Zach was playing the drums and I was playing bass and Kyle was playing guitar, you know, and just one day out of the blue, man, I was talking to a bass player, about starting a band. It was Gilby. I was talking to him about possibly playing bass with us so I could go to lead guitar, cause that's obviously my forte. And, you know, Zach invited Aaron over and I was actually coming home from a weekend trip and they were all over there jamming and we were just playing this song that Zach and Kyle had come up with. And, you know, Zach had called me. He was like, "You've got to come over here, man. This sounds incredible." And I literally, like, drove. I was sitting outside of Kyle's house getting ready to walk in, and it didn't, like, listening to them play, it didn't sound like a band that was just playing together for the first time. It wasn't, like, one of those things where you're kind of feeling each other out, you know?
Yeah.
Like, we were playing full songs.
Yeah.
And I literally, like, we all just looked at each other and, like, we've got to do this. And we did, you know, we pushed it as hard as we could. We actually played our first show after five practices.
Nice.
A full set, you know?
Nice.
Intersect venue, full set, band dropped, and... You know, we're like, hey, we could always do it. And, you know, it wasn't the best thing in the world, but, you know, not many bands can say they've done that. We won our first battle of the bands after seven practices, and we just, like, had this crazy momentum, you know. And it was just one of those things where everybody gelled, everybody was down to do what we're supposed to do, and, you know, we've been pushing it ever since, you know.
Have you heard Aaron's new band?
I didn't know Aaron.
Aaron was their drummer starting off.
Yeah, he dropped after about a year and a half playing with us, and... We got Jake, and he's definitely filled the shoes.
Yeah.
And when we got our announcement with Redcord, you know, signing with them, our rhythm guitar player, Kyle, he's got a job that it's real important to him. He can't lose. You know, he makes a lot of money doing that.
Mm-hmm.
He's got a son.
Yeah.
That's real important to him. So
he
decided that it was his time to kind of pack up and go. And we got Austin Lonaker from At the Trumpet Sound. Those of you from Vincennes obviously know who they are. And that the new lineup is killer. Everybody's telling us we're sounding a lot better. Everything's tighter, so it's really working out for us a lot. And you know, I feel like ever since we've gotten Austin, I feel like we've just been really gradually getting better and better, moving forward. And,
right on.
I'm really excited about
you. You guys should check out Aaron's new band, The Savage Life.
All right, I'll
play bass for him.
He plays bass for him.
Really?
Yeah.
That's
what?
Not a stereotype.
And they are If somebody told you that Aaron was in a Christian metalcore band after listening to The Savage Life, you would be like, "You're fucking an idiot. You're an idiot." No, he wasn't.
No,
he
had that on
video. Yeah, you're a fucking idiot. No, he wasn't. Like, yeah, Christian metalcore.
Wow.
And it'd be like, wow.
He was the drummer.
Yeah, he was the drummer, yeah. But now they are just a straight-up beat-down band.
Oh, that's
awesome. Yeah.
So they have recordings and everything, though.
Yeah.
That's wonderful.
They have two songs you can download. Aaron wasn't playing with them at the time; they're old songs,
right? But
they get an idea of what they sound like.
They still play those songs.
Yeah, they still play. And we just saw them. Well, we were in Muncie, and they played. We saw them twice. Saw them on Friday and Saturday. Played a basement show at our friend Taylor's basement,
mm-hmm.
and then the next day they played at Hardcore Fest at Village Green Records.
That's awesome.
And they are good. They are pretty intense. Yeah,
see,
all, like,
I'm glad to hear that Aaron's doing stuff, because he's a really legit guy.
Yeah.
I miss him a lot, you know? It really sucks, because I'm literally on the opposite side of the state, you know? And, you know, I don't get to come down to Indy and the surrounding area as much as I would like to.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she hears me all the time complain about it.
I know. Just, we need to get you down here.
I need you more, but my job. My job owns me. Like, they will not let me do anything without making up some BS excuse as to why I can't work. Or, you know, just, it sucks. But, you know, I'm glad to see that Aaron's doing stuff.
Oh, man,
you know?
It's like,
because he's such a legit dude.
Yeah.
He's really good at everything he does.
Yeah, he's
so.
A great musician. Yeah, he's so, a damn good.
Excellent bass player. Excellent drummer.
Yeah.
You know,
and, yeah, but yeah, he plays bass in the Savage Life, and they are savage.
I'm excited, man.
They are the heaviest drop D band I've ever heard.
Stanley plays guitar.
Yeah, our friend Jared Stanley plays guitar.
It's good to see the remnants of P. Duffy. Or
Duffy is still in the air.
So, yeah. Oh, man. Yeah. Not writing NBA Jam tunes anymore.
My favorite line ever, though, is the Marv Albert.
Here comes Marv Albert, so be the fuck aware. Because he strangles hookers in with their underwear.
He's eating up.
Yeah, they're not writing NBA Jam tunes anymore, but they're a good local beatdown band.
Absolutely.
If you really want to bite a baby's head off, you listen to Savage Life Live. And that'll take care of that itch for you.
It's just nice to see that some of the BU audio recording kids, all of us with our dead end jobs and our bitter attitudes towards that awful place.
Yeah.
If any of you guys are going to school for Benson's audio recording, I have one word: run.
Yeah.
Yeah, please do.
Or don't.
Yeah. Do not with a capital D.
Don't. It's go. You know
get
what?
A
just
real job,
don't go to college.
Yeah.
That you, yeah.
If you want $15,000 in debt and nothing to show for it, Vincent's University is your place.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
But,
you might
as
well just not go to college. That's just how it, hey, here's a degree. Oh, this is really good for my career.
Yeah. You can still more
or
letters if you want.
I'm working the same job that I've been working since I've been going to BU.
Yeah.
I'm done now, but, you know, I'm glad to see that everybody's doing stuff. You guys got this thing going, and I've got Dale Moore, which is finally getting, you know, some recognition.
Yeah.
We may fall on our faces, but you know what?
You're still doing
it.
Enjoy the ride. Well,
I'm still getting my title shot, you know, and by God, I'm going to take everything I can.
Enjoy the ride while it lasts, man.
Jared's got Facts of Life, which I literally just checked out his profile one day, and I checked him out. I was blown away, with what they've done and what, how long they've been together?
Oh,
like 8 months now?
Yeah.
They sound like they've been playing together for years.
You should see them live.
Oh, I'm going to.
They tear the fucking club
Facts of Life tear the club up. Yeah.
Which they'll be on here in 2 weeks.
Yeah, they'll be on here in 2 weeks. They're going to be on here, and Jared's going to be on his way back from Crazy Fest, so he's just going to be getting here exhausted from Crazy Fest.
Exhausted, sunburnt to shit.
But they're going to be on here in 2 weeks, and I told Jared, once he said the 22nd, that's a legal binding contract. So they will be on here in 2 weeks, But enjoy the ride while it lasts, man. We all can't be Arid Bedard and be, you know, doing hardcore at 55 years old.
You know what? If all else fails, it doesn't matter how old I get. I always have Indy.
That's true. Yeah, there you go. Yeah,
and be like Lydia.
Yeah,
know,
there you
out.
Go. So just enjoy the ride while it lasts.
Just don't be the Decemberist.
Yeah.
Do not be them.
Yeah.
Do not be the Decemberist.
So thanks for coming on, man.
We always
enjoy talking about, you know, music and shit with everybody.
Absolutely,
so.
Definitely. Stick around for next week. We're doing a thing I posted on the Facebook. We're going to start doing album reviews.
Mm-hmm.
So hit us up with albums. They don't have to be local. We'll do anything. Like, locals are definitely accepted. Nationals, it'd probably be easier for, you know, for us to do nationals, obviously, because there's really a pick from.
We're for sure going to do Indian City. One of us is going to review Indian City Weather's album next week.
Yeah, we'll
for
yeah,
sure
we'll
as a local
City.
As a local act. One of us will review that. But send us some suggestions so we can.
Yeah.
So we have a reason to listen to more music.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. This is actually my cheap ploy to get me into new records.
Yeah, yeah, you go.
Because I'm too old to think half the time, dude. I want everything fed to me. I'm living the American dream. I want everything to happen to me.
So, we're going to do that. Guys, get at us. Seriously, throw all the... any. three or four at a fucking time.
Yeah, throw that on there. Keep asking us questions.
Questions are a big thing. We need you guys to ask us more questions. What you guys want to hear, what you guys want
to
know.
It can really be about anything pertaining to local music. Yeah. You can get, like, our opinions on
Ask us our fucking shoe size.
Yeah, that's just that,
by the way. Ask me.
It depends on what kind of shoe.
My shoes right now are a men's U.S. 10.
I don't know. The tag's ripped off of mine.
10.5. Right?
Yeah, I've got 11 in these weird, like, stolen Walmart slip-ons.
I had those same shoes.
So, yeah. But, yeah, just ask us questions, guys. Shoot us on our Facebook, our Twitter. Email us. I don't know if anybody still does email. But
I had to make the email for the Twitter and the Facebook. Yeah.
P.O. Box.
Yeah,
P.O. Box.
So just ask us questions and get at us.
Definitely keep up with asking the questions. Keep up with the support. Keep telling people about us. Next week, we've got the guys from With Honors coming on to talk about what they're up to. We are still accepting, bands to come on. So just keep sending us stuff. We're trying to get back to everybody as quickly as we can.
And get them booked as quickly as we can. But we're booked for the next month and a half.
Until about the end of June, we've got every,
So get at us now. I mean, if you want to come on, and we'll get you on as soon as we possibly can. But, first come, first serve, So
totally.
So, and we don't want to keep, having the same people on, which we will, but,
We will eventually, but,
But we want to get a lot of bands on here and get a lot of exposure, so, to the bands, not just us, but, But with us, too. I'm going to toot my own horn, but... We're 5 followers away from 200 on Facebook. I don't know if that means anything.
I mean, it's cool.
It's just a nice round number.
It's going to be 4 followers, because I'm going to follow you when I get home.
Yeah. Awesome.
We're four then, because we need nice round numbers. We don't play that 194 bullshit.
We need round numbers.
Help us out, too, because I think we're locked at, like, 268.
You guys, go check out De La Moore's Facebook, like them, hit them up on Twitter. They're super nice guys. They're a Christian band, so they have to be.
Hey, we enjoy it. We play Ultimate Frisbee.
Yeah, man.
Sometimes we used to, not so much now.
They're super good guys. We went to high school with all of, or not college.
What?
Vincent University is high school too. So high school round too. But yeah, we went to college with these guys. Super nice guys, and they play good. They play good Southern Indiana musics. So go check them out. We'll, throw them some love on the page and stuff. And I think we all like them on Facebook,
I think so, yeah.
Go to our Facebook, go to our individual Facebooks, and go to the Under the Circle Facebooks, and you can find them. Go to the Twitter. We're following them on Twitter, and I know they're following us. So, go show them some love. Get them some followers.
Definitely.
So, Joe, you want to wrap it up?
All right. Thanks again for listening, guys. For Under the Circle, I'm Joe Harris.
Justin Staler.
And I'm Jesse Goforth.
Have a good week, guys.
Slipknot sucks.